One word on the Parashat Rabotai that we're learning, Parashat Lech Lecha. I'd like to acknowledge the presence of Benny Cohen that has surfaced. Baruch Hashem with us. Baruch Abbas, good to see you, Benny. And I guess based on the schedule, we'll see you in 6 months. To check it in. Beruchim Abayim to everybody that's here today. So, Parashat Lech Lecha. Vayomer Hashem el Avraham Lech Lecha me'artecha u'mimoladecha u'mibet abicha el ha'aretz asher ar'eka. The issue with this pasuk, but clearly God tells Avraham, Lech Lecha, go. Me'artecha, from your land. U'mimoladecha, from your birthplace. U'mibet abicha, from your father's house. That would be like saying, leave America and leave New York and leave Brooklyn. Which, it's exact opposite the way you would leave. First you would leave Brooklyn, and then you leave New York, and then you leave America. So the pasuk is clearly, out of order. If it's going according to the system of how a person physically leaves, so, lech lecha me'artecha u'molatecha v'et avicha, it's out of order. And all the mefarshim note that. So you have to try to say an interpretation. So we'll say something on that. In the Nevi'im, the book of Kings, in Melachim Bet, Perek Bet, so this is the chapter where Eliyahu HaNavi goes up to the Shamayim and returns his soul and leaves this world. I don't say he dies, because Eliyahu HaNavi doesn't really die, but he left the planet. So it says in the chapter there, Vayetzi'u b'nei ha-nevi'im asher Bet El Elisha. So the prophets that were in the Bet El, they went to the prophet Elisha, who was known to be the student of Eliyahu HaNavi. Vayomiru elav, hayada'ata ki hayom Hashem lokeach et Adonecha me'al roshecha. Are you aware of what's going to happen today, that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be taken away from us? Vayomer gam ani yadati yehashu. I also know about this. Keep quiet. The question over here is, the students thought they know more than Elisha. Elisha is the biggest prophet after Eliyahu HaNavi. So they're coming to Elisha as if they have a big hadush that they knew already. So they come to Elisha and they tell him, Ayadata ki ayom Hashem lokeach adonecha, you aware that today is the day that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to leave us? And then Elisha comes along and answers, Vayomer gam ani yadati, as if even I know this, which means I also know this. You also know this? Because you should know this. If you're not going to know this, who knows it? The hadush is that they know it. But it sounds like Elisha says, yes, I also know this. As if it's a hadush that he should know this. Of course he should know it. It should be the opposite. The story should be that Elisha went to the prophets of Bet-El and said, Rabotai, well, prepare yourself. Today's a serious day. Eliyahu HaNavi is returning his neshama. And they should have said to Elisha, wow, lo yada'nu. Hadush. Instead, they come to tell the hadush to Elisha. When they come to tell Elisha, he doesn't say, Vadai, Peshita, Makamash Ma'alan. He said, no, Gam Ani Adafi, meaning, I also know. As if it's a hadush that he knows. Well, why should it be a hadush? So this is a question in how to learn the Nevi'im over here. So the Arizal has an interpretation to this. The Arizal explained like this. He gave a mashal. He said, lo aleinu, but if a person, let's say, is the main part of the body that gives the person life is his heart. So the heart pumps blood to all the body. When a person's body starts to shut down, so which parts of the body feel it first? The parts that are further away from the heart. Because as the heart starts to slow down, still the organs that are next to the heart receive the blood. It's just that since the heart is slowing down, it won't give blood to the extremities. So the feet, for example, the legs, they will sense the death first because they're not getting the flow. So, and the body, for example, if you ask the body parts, the ones that are closer to the heart, they don't sense that there's any trouble yet because they're still getting the flow. Whereas the ones that are further, right away, they know the information before the ones that are even closer. It's ironic. The ones that are further know more than the ones that are closer, because they feel the void. They feel the fact that it's not working anymore. That's that Arizal's mashal. The nimshal is that the prophet is like the heartbeat of Klal Yisrael. In this case, it's Eliyahu HaNevi. Eliyahu HaNevi, when he's giving his nebuah, it's Tofeya al minat lehatfiya. His nebuah overflows onto all the students. The closer the student is, the more he feels the energy of the prophet, because the prophecy goes from Eliyahu HaNevi to Elisha, and then it trickles to the other talmidim. So, in the Nimshal, Eliyahu HaNevi is the lip, and Elisha would be the closest organ to the lip. Once already Eliyahu HaNevi is starting to shut down, to go up, the last one to feel it will be Elisha, because he's the closest to the Nevi. And therefore he still feels the chiyut from the... The first ones to feel it are going to be the prophets that are further away. That already, when the prophecy of Elisha is of Eliyahu HaNevi is flowing over, it already doesn't reach already the further ones. So immediately the further prophets right away said, "Hey, we feel something. We're not getting the flow as we normally get." So they sensed right away. They were like the feet. They sensed right away something's happening with Eliyahu. So they went to confirm it to Elisha. So they told him, "Hayadate ki ayom Hashem lukiyat adonecha," which was a chidush, because do you feel it yet? Which means they were questioning, was how imminent is it? We know you're the closest one yet. You're the closest one. So if anything, you're going to feel it less. So then when they came, they said, "Are you feeling something yet?" So he came along and said, "Gam ani yadati," which means he's saying, it's imminent, it even reached me. Which means, you're right, it was a compliment to Elisha. Elisha is the last one to know about it. Because as long as Elisha is still alive, the one that's closest is going to feel the shefa, so therefore he has no sense that Eliyahu HaNevi is shutting down. But once already, he came along and said, "Yeah, gam ani yadati," which means, I feel it as well. That was Elisha's way of saying, it's happening now. Meaning, if the closest organs already sense that the heart is stopping to pump. So that's the way that Arizal explained this story in the Navi. Based on that, Ari, they explain the same story with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, of course, was a Navi. Avraham Avinu at a young age already was going out and, you know, being mashpia on the whole world. That's what the difference between, let's say, Avraham Avinu and Shem ben Noah. The Rambam asks, how come God didn't choose Shem? Shem had a yeshiva. Right? Yeshiva Shem Ve'eved. And the Rambam explains that Shem had a yeshiva, but you know, you have to go to Shem. If you wanted to get religious, you have to enlist in Shem. Shem didn't move. Shem sat in the yeshiva. You came to the yeshiva, you got religious. He didn't come to the yeshiva. That's it. He's not going to carry it. Shem wasn't going fishing. The fish had to come to him. So if you swam into his yeshiva, he'd feed you. But if you didn't come in, Avraham Avinu was fishing. Avraham Avinu would go out with his rod, he's catching people up the street. So Rambam says that's what God wants. Avraham Avinu was a mashpia. Wherever he went, you know, he was involved in kiruv, kiruv nefashot, kiruv levavot, as we know. Avraham Avinu's level, he was overflowing, like we said, the prophet Eliyahu Nabi. And Avraham Avinu, he's flowing over. And even those that are around him feel his, and the closer you are to the tzaddik, the more you feel the energy. Of course, the further you are from the tzaddik, so you start to, you know, you sense it first. So what happened? God tells Avraham Avinu, Lemashal. Avraham Avinu is in the west, so he tells them, go east. So now the tzaddik is in, let's take the Mashal of America, so you can understand it clear. So God says to Avraham Avinu, he's in California. And God tells him, you know, start going to New York, start going to... So therefore, he starts his... and then he says, leave your country. Right? Leave America, first he tells him. And then he tells him, leave your state. Where you were born, New York. And leave your birthplace, which is the exact opposite. And the explanation is that as Avraham Avinu starts to move away from his house, so the house doesn't feel yet the loss yet. Because Avraham Avinu is close to the house. The house still feels the shefa of Avraham Avinu. The house is not going to feel the shefa until Avraham Avinu moves further away. The house is going to feel it the last. Because since the Kiddushah, the Tzaddik is there, so just by him leaving, although he leaves Bet Avicha first, he leaves the house of his father first, but they're the last ones to sense the loss. The first ones to sense the loss is going to be the ones that are further away. And therefore the Pasuk is giving the order of who felt the absence. The absence was felt in reverse. The absence was felt that the Rechokim, the Altecha felt it, the Molatecha felt it, and then Bet Avicha was the last one to feel it, because the Tzaddik has the spot, even though he's moving away from them first, but they don't sense it, because the Kiddushah is still flowing, it's still flowing, it's still flowing. But the ones that are further away already, the Altecha, they already sensed it, that once he moved already, so he moved a little further away from Al-Secha. Once he moved away further from Al-Secha, there's right away, someone shut the light. So they go to Bet Avicha. You feel anything? You feel nothing. But if I remember, he walked already 40 miles. You feel nothing. But look at him. To us, he's still around. But the ask Al-Secha, once I'm up to two steps, already the Al-Secha said, hey, the flow is not the same. We're not getting the same energy. So therefore, the Pasuk is hinting to us the... Not Abraham's flight path. It's hinting to us the hashpa'ah. First the Ares felt it, then the Molad felt it, and then Bet Avich felt it. That's one way to reconcile the issue. There's a famous midrash here that they all talk about as well on Lech Lecha. As you are well aware, this is not the only time that it says in the Torah Lech Lecha. There's another Lech Lecha, which is actually next week's parasha. At the end of next week's parasha, Vayi achara devrim ha'ele, va'eluhim nisat Abraham, ויאמר כחנת פניחת יחידך של אהבת את יצחק ולך לך לארץ המוריה. אבל זה לא לך לך. לך לך number two, the sequel. This pasuk says, לך לך, מה זה כבר? And the next week it says, בדעקדה, ולך לך לארץ המעלה או לעולם. לארץ המוריה. So, the midrash says, here it says, לך לך, מה זה כבר? And over there it says, לך לך, אל ארץ המוריה, ועלה או לעולם. So the midrash goes somewhat like this. Any yodea, I don't know which one is bigger. Is this Lech Lecha number one bigger, or is the Lech Lecha any Yodaya Ezem Ehem Yoter Gadol? What's the bigger Lech Lecha? So the Midrash is putting them both on the scale, and the measuring, is this Lech Lecha bigger, that Lech Lecha? Although this might be the first test of Avraham, or one of the first tests, and Akedah Yitzhak, let's say, is the last test. So they're saying, which one is the... Is this one or that one? So the Gemara says, any Yodaya, the Gemara says, Aval! When you look at the Pasuk, it says, V'lech lecha l'eres ha-moriya ba'aleh le'ona, Tamud lomar, the second one is bigger. It saw something in that Pasuk that indicated, oh, yeah, it's the second one, it's the second one. And we're questioning two questions. Number one, very nice, you found two similar words. So that gives you a right to compare, which is, they're not even related. You have a question if the Akedah was not the greatest thing that ever happened? You're comparing Akedah to Lech Lecha. Of course, they were both great deeds. So everybody knows when we come on Yom Kippur, or when we come on, when we come on Yom Kippur, let's say, Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar to the Makarat Yitzhak. So you're talking about Yom Kippur, you wear sneakers to remember Lech Lecha. That's not the reason why we wear sneakers. Which means, clearly, Dr. Dan's greatest. But the Midrash, we're allowed, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, and Gezrash Hava, which is greater. And the Gemara, and the Midrash has to struggle, because it wasn't Pashut to the Midrash. But, we found a reason. Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, that's the bigger one. I mean, without that Gilui, the Midrash is clueless, which is bigger. So, two yeshuvim on this. One way it's learned it like this. What exactly was the nisayon of Lech Lecha? What was the nisayon? God tells Abraham, leave your house. And then he tells him, if you do it, ve'ezka le'goy gadol, va'abarechecha va'agadela shemecha. I mean, look at the perks. I mean, if God would come to you and say, listen, Hakam, I want you to leave Brooklyn and I want you to move to Deal. So, I can't move. My friends are here, the yeshiva, the this and that, everything. No, you gotta go. But I'm letting you know that if you go there, the moment you go there, you're gonna become a millionaire. You're going to become a father, because you don't have children now, you're going to become a father of a great family, and you're going to become very, very famous in a good way. Okay? So you tell God, all right, I'll go. Oh, he passed the test. There's the test. The test is the opposite. The test would be if God told him, Lech Lecha, and you're getting nothing. You're going to get beat up over there. If you stay here, you get everything. But if you leave and listen to me, you get nothing. And it's, I'm not went. The test of Lech Lecha seems like a very, very... We didn't even know what the Nisayon was. And then she goes out of his way to say, Lech Lecha, Lehanatecha, Ultumatcha. Where did she get that from in the words Lech Lecha? The Lech is Lecha. Meaning, the Lech that I'm telling you to go, you're the biggest beneficiary. The Lech is Lecha. You're the biggest beneficiary of the... And what does it say? He went. I'm talking about if he went. Who wouldn't go? Especially somebody that didn't have money at that time, and didn't have children, and didn't have fame. So it's not like God saying, well, now you're a millionaire, you become a billionaire. No, he had nothing. He couldn't pay his hotel bills, it says. He couldn't pay his hotel bills. And now you tell God to tell me you become a...
So and you know it's going to come true. It's not like a rabbi telling you, okay, sometimes the rabbis are hit or miss. This is God telling you, so you know what's going to happen. So he got up, he picked up, he moved the deal. Oh, what a tzaddik he is. Unbelievable, isn't it? What's the nesayon? And then she goes out of his way. Lech lecha letovatcha lanatcha. It's almost as if Rashi is trying to minimize the nesayon by telling us that. Rashi, don't say anything. What do you have to... You came to minimize the nesayon of Avraham Avinu. Don't say anything. My point is that Rashi doesn't quote every midrash. This is a midrash. Letovatcha lanatcha is a midrash. Rashi doesn't quote every single... By the way, if you open up Parashat Lech Lecha in the midrash, there's the last 20 pages this week. Lech lecha... That she chose to tell us that one. The one that minimizes the nisayon. The tovatkal haratka. Okay. It's a myth, but... Ela is started like this, they say. The greatness of Avraham Avinu was that this nisayon, at this juncture, was to hear all the stuff that he's going to get, and to block it out of his mind, and to only do it because God said. That means God throwing all these perks. The perks are to compromise him a little, and to see if Avraham Avinu is going to be motivated for the hanatcha and the tovatcha, or is the ultimate motivator going to be because God said. Now, the more perks you throw in, the more difficult the test becomes. So God keeps on piling on. Money, fame, and I'm like, oh, you're killing me over here. Because the more he throws in, the more he has to block it out. Because ultimately what has to drive the tzaddik to do it is, because God said it, it's on Hashem. I think I once told you a chiddush. That I saw from one of the Marit Al Ghazi. This I saw when I studied in the cave. This has to be 1990, ma'am. So about that time, there was a sefer on the table over there, and I picked it up, and it had this chiddush in it. It said like this. David HaMelech is talking. Ani hamadim mezahav umipazrav umtukim medevat venopet sufim. David HaMelech says, Yishtabach Shemo, the Torah ani hamadim mezahav. The Torah is more pleasant and more precious than gold. Ani hamadim mezahav umipazrav umtukim medevat. He says, when I sit and learn Torah, umtukim, it's sweeter than honey. Venopet sufim, it's sweeter than the sap that comes from the tree. The maple syrup in the tree, umtukim medevat. If the Vilma gives this whole understanding of what Torah means, then what does he say? Gam abdecha nizhar bahem. He says, you should know, I'm also careful in the study of Torah. You also? If you just told me what it is, of course you are. Gam abdecha is something of hadush. You should know, even I learned Torah, even you, especially you, if you just told me your understanding of what Torah means, what the Vilma says that to learn, he sees gold bullion, cotton candy, honey, maple syrup, and the man says, when I sit down and learning it, you should know I'm also careful to learn. Also, you should say, Lachen, Ani Rishon, I'm the first who learns Torah. Not Gam, Gam as if, you know, Rabotai, don't suspect me, I'm also learning. Of course you're learning. So the Marit Al-Ghazi wrote in a sefer like this. He says, the greatness of David HaMelech was, he gave him a mashal. He said, if I were to tell a person, go to the store and buy me a newspaper. And when you come back, I have this suitcase over here that has $2.5 million in it. He said, I want you to see it first. I clicked the thing open. I said, here, take it. I want you to see it. So you know that the money is there. You say, Rabbi, I like to smell it. Also, I like to smell the money. Can I give you permission to smell it? Because whatever you want with it. He takes those things, and in the Samin. Smell it. Okay, it smells like money, but I don't know if it's counterfeit. Oh, you want to touch it? You touch it also. You touch it, you feel it, you do the pen, the bit. It's real money. How do I know you're going to give it to me?
How do you know you're going to give it to him? I said, you know what? We're going to put it to a third party. You hold it for him. He comes back with the New York Times. You give him the money over there. Finished. So the guy says, okay, who's paying for the newspaper? I said, Hashem, you're going to get $200 million. You can't pay for the newspaper. Come sign. The guy says, you know what? I don't want you to even be hoshed. Here's a gold dollar. Go buy the newspaper. Can I keep the check? Okay, keep the check. This is the type of guy we're dealing with. So the guy goes, comes back with a newspaper, and then he says to me, he says, I just want you to know, Rabbi, the only reason that motivated me was because you asked me to do it. I promise you, the money had zero effect on what I did. So I tell him, so why did you jump out the window then? Why don't you use the front door to get the newspaper? Why did you come back in 4.5 seconds? Because I'm telling you, of course, I love the Kavod Tamid HaChamim. Of course, I'll take the money. I'm not going to take the money, but know that nothing, it didn't influence me. Do I believe such a guy? Of course not. The greatness of David HaMelech was, David HaMelech, when I sit and learn, I see gold and silver and maple syrup and honey and all that. But Gam Avdechan Nizhar Bahem, when I study Torah, I study it and it doesn't influence me at all. I study it only because God told me. Gam Avdechan Nizhar Bahem Kilu She'eni Yodei Hazeh. That the Hadush of the Rebbe says, I also, which means my level of Lashem Shamayim is like the guy who doesn't know any of this. The guy who doesn't know, teaching to be Lashem Shamayim. He's like, why are you studying? Lashem told me. You don't see gold, you don't see money, nothing. David HaMelech says, I see the gold, I see all that. But if God would put a barometer on my heart, he'd say, it does not affect me. He's only learning because I told him. That's hard. To see the cash in front of you and then to divert yourself or divest yourself and only do it for the... So David HaMelech says, Gam Avdechan Nizhar Bahem, I'm also kibbutz Ke'adam She'en Ro'ed. Understand the Dirash? What's the matter, Ali?
No, I'm
telling
Isaac.
Okay, Isaac. So the question is like, why don't you go sit with him? The question is like this. Here, Avraham Avinu has a similar test like David HaMelech. Go and God says, when you go there, you get this suitcase of money, this suitcase of fame, this suitcase of children, all the suitcases of money. And Avraham Avinu's test is now, block it out. And when God puts the stethoscope on Avraham Avinu's heart, he's got to see that it's solely Lashem Shamayim, which is very difficult. So this Nisayon, by the way, is one of the hardest, by the way. It's one of the hardest. By the way, I have a proof to this, by the way. My proof? My proof is, look at the way the Torah introduces the Nisayon. Vayomer Hashem el Avram. Vayomer is always Lashon Zaka, which means God was saying, it's an easy test. Vayomer, there's perks, there's money in this, there's fame, there's children, there's Vayomer. The Pasuk says, Vayelech Avram Ka'asher Diber. It doesn't say Ka'asher Amar. Big difference. Here, Pasuk says Vayomer. Avraham Avinu was able to block out all the Vayomer, all the sweet stuff. He blocked it out, and he only went because of the Diber. The Diber is the Tzivui, the Din, the commandment.
Wow.
And the Pasuk says, what motivated Avraham? Vayelech Avraham Ka'asher Diber Elav Hashem. That was the only motive. Ka'asher Diber Elav Hashem. What about the Ve'ezcha, Ve'abarechecha? Nothing. Of course, it's going to come, but you know how that is? You're right, maybe the Akedah has another hard part. But by the way, Akedah is very easy. By the way, in this respect, Akedah is easy. Because, of course, he's Lashem Shamayim. You don't have a desire to kill your child. So when God tells Abraham, go take your son, put him on the Mizbeah, Avraham doesn't have to struggle to be Lashem Shamayim in that. Of course he's Lashem Shamayim. Why else would you put a knife to your son's neck, God forbid, if God didn't command you. So therefore, if you're comparing the first one to the last one, the first one is even greater in that sense. So there is a kesher between. They were measuring the Leshem Shamayim Shebo. Not, is it more difficult to kill your son than go leave your town? Of course it's more difficult to do that. But is it more difficult to be Leshem Shamayim is the question. So that's why the Gemara says, hey, lech lecha, lech lecha, you put it on the scale. This is, you have a story over here. And I think the first one is greater. But then the Gemara says, no. The last one is greater. The last one is greater. How can it be greater? That means the last one is even harder to be L'Shem Shamayim. Harder to be L'Shem Shamayim. So the Chayim explained incredibly that everybody makes a mistake here, except of course those that come to the Shi'ur, that if you ask them, what was the Nisiyon of the Akedah? What was the commandment? Ale ole ola. Okay, that's only part one. That's only part one. Part two was that after Avraham puts them on the Mizbeach, the Pasuk says, Vayikra elav malach Hashem, Vayomer al tishlach yadecha al hanar. That's part of the commandment. There's two commandments here. There's the tishlach yadecha al hanar, and then there's the after. There's a mitzvot aseh and a mitzvot lo taaseh. It's part of the Nisayon. Now on the Tishlach Yadecha, it's easy to be L'Shem Shamayim. But on the Al Tishlach, don't kill your son. Why am I not going to kill my son? Because he's my son. Or is it because God said? That's much harder than even Lech Lecha Al Tishlach. Because the fatherly love that you have for the child, I mean, that's impossible to read. So for Abraham to come along and then tell God, the only reason why I didn't do it, because you said, and they put the stethoscope on his heart, and they said 100%, that was the only motivating factor. There was no fatherly instinct here. It's impossible, exactly. That's the point. That's the point. It's harder than the Lech Lecha. It's harder than the first Lech Lecha. And this is what it means over here when God tells Avraham Avinu, Ki ata yadati ki yere Elohim ata. I know you're yere Elohim. Now I know. What do you mean now I know? Exactly. What happened now that I know? Velo hasachta et bincha et yechidecha mimeni. Which simply means that you were not going to withhold your son. You were willing to let him go under the Zayah. Simple interpretation. But the way we're learning now is Velo hasachta et bincha et yechidecha, that which you withheld your son, that which you were chosek, that which you didn't slaughter your son, that you didn't slaughter your son and give him to me? Mimeni. It was only because I told you. It was mimeni. Velo hasachta et binchat yaidecha. You know what your motivating fact was? Mimeni. The only reason why you withheld, the only reason why you made a chisuch over here, velo hasachta, the only reason you were chosech, the only reason why you withheld? Because I told you. And that's incredible. The simple interpretation is you didn't withhold. But now, because the only reason why you did withhold, you didn't do it in the end. What was your motivator? Mimeni. God said, that's it. This is a different level. So that's why the Sayon of both was L'Shem Shamayim, and clearly the second one is a harder test, L'Shem Shamayim. That's one way to learn it, which is a beautiful, beautiful mahalach. One more way to learn these two stories. Baruch Hashem, our good friend Yossi Spielman and Yarich Yamav Bator brought us the new sefer of the Baba Verebi, Sha'abar, the Devre Shalomo. Just came out. The ink is still wet. And to his credit, Baruch Hashem, he knows I'm a big fan of this dynasty. Therefore, he presented me with this matana, one of many matanot that he presents me, Baruch Hashem, from time to time, all quality stuff, and this is no exception. So the Rav over here, he brings down this midrash. I'll read it from Shtei pa'amim ketiv lech lecha, it's quoting the midrash. Ve'en anu yud'im eze habiba. Ima shiniya, ima rishona. Which one's better? Ah, memad yechtiv lech lecha lecha moriya. Habiya shiniya habiba min rishona. That's it. Exactly the midrash we quoted. And he goes back again and he says, hold it. What was the havamina? You have a havamina, that tenth one, that Akedah Yitzhak is not as great as Lech Lecha Maratek. Of course Akedah Yitzhak is the greatest one. What's the havamina? And then what did the Midrash see in that pasuk? Lech Lecha is the one of Alel. What did it see in that pasuk that it changed its mind? That's the question that the Baba the Rebbe has. So he says a very, very important klal that we've spoken about in the past. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants some klal Yisrael to make Kiddush Hashem. That's the ultimate. The Arizal always talks about Mesirut Nefesh. You know, for anything good to happen in the world, it always has to be preceded by a Mesirut Nefesh. Even when we pray the Amidah, we say the Manshim of Ahava, Yikabel Allah Tamor, Sekilah, Sirifah, Hedek, Vayanek, even a mental Mesirut Nefesh, or the more so a physical Mesirut Nefesh. It's the greatest of all the mitzvot, to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. I think one of the entries of the Bet Yosef, the Rabbi Yosef Karo, and the Magid Mesharim, he talks about how he was jealous of one of his colleagues that was killed by the Goyim al Kiddush Hashem, and he asked him, why wasn't he zocher to that? You know, he was upset. Like, how come I didn't get the zechut to give my life up like this al Kiddush Hashem with this? And so the king, they thought this was something incredible. And for generations and generations, Am Yisrael have given their lives up al Kiddush Hashem. And the Goyim made it easy for us to fulfill this mitzvah. Because in most every generation, there was a sort of a pogrom or a inquisition or a holocaust, where everybody knows how when they took out Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimkom Damav, and you know, he, before he left to go to the ninth fort in Lithuania, in Kovno. So he learned Hilchot Kiddush Hashem in the Rambam. They learned it like a sugya of Kiddush Hashem, and they went and he told the students, we're now about to fulfill Kiddush Hashem. We have a status of a human korban, like Akedat Yitzhak. But any bad thoughts can make the korban pikul chas v'shalom. So everybody has to, you know, be mentally strong and not have any bad thoughts at the time of the execution. I mean, this is where they gave their lives up. It came out of the Kiddush Hashem of the Tzaddikim. And they made the Berakah. Al-Kiddush Hashem. Boom. So they talk about, what about generations that not that we're asking for it, I don't have this opportunity. And Baruch Hashem, we're living in a free country, you know, nobody's prosecuting us, we have, you know, freedoms and all that stuff over there. He said, we went to sleep and we had a black man in the White House whose grandfather was a Muslim, And we woke up, we have a white man in the White House that his grandson is Jewish. go figure what goes on over here. They said yesterday that Trump evicted another black couple out of their house. So anyway, you see over here that Baruch Hashem, we live in a, you know, Malchut Shel Chesed, freedom of religion. On the contrary, they protect you. You know, if somebody says a word against a Jew, it's a hate crime. They put him in jail. Word. Forget about it if he spits on you or hits you on the head. Today already, if a guy comes along with a slur, you call the Jew a name, dirty Jew, you go to jail for that. So, Mashemo. Talk about, compare this to 1492. I mean, the world is mamash, olam hafukha even. So he says, so what do you do now? What happens to that mitzvah kiddush Hashem? What happens to that mitzvah kiddush Hashem? What, did you erase it from the book? It's like one of these mitzvot that like the Sefer Ha'Einuch says, you know, enu noheg b'chol zeman b'chol et. But it's not a mitzvah like that. The mitzvah kiddush has to apply always. So he says that the mitzvah kiddush Hashem, which he claims is, could be on a high level even, is to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim and live. And live. Because, you know, if you Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, you die, it's a 1 second item. It's a 1 second item. Yeah. You gave your life up, 1 second, you're Mechazek Yisrael, it's over. But the living Kiddush Hashem is something that's constant. That's something that's unending. I told you the story of we went to this Holocaust. It was a museum actually, but they were showing a film on the expulsion of Hungarian Jews. I have a big desire to learn about the Holocaust, and they had it during the 9 days. So I went, took Sandra, we went to the museum, we watched the movie. 1,000 Ashkenazim, and me and Sandra, the only one guy came to me, Rabbi Mansour, I didn't know you're Hungarian. I'm not Hungarian. I get to see it. I'm Jewish. So anyway, we watched the film over there. Expulsion of Hungarians. Before the film, they had Rabbi Lau speak. And before Rabbi Lau, they had an unbelievable guy. He's a Hazan now in Toronto, the guy. He gets up there with his cap. He probably had the same cap from the concentration camp. Old man. And he gives his story of the, you know, how he escaped, wherever he escaped. It was probably in I guess he was, you know, in that, those countries over there. So he comes along and says, they took away my Rebbe on the train, and as they were taking my Rebbe away, the Rebbe opened the window of the car, and I told him, Rebbe, why did you get the zechut to give your life up al Kiddush Hashem? And I didn't. The guy telling us the story lies. How come you get the zechut to give your life? So the Rebbe told me, God, what zechut? He says, I'm not giving my life up al Kiddush Hashem willingly. I didn't do this willingly. This is against my will here. He says, you're going to live. You're going to have a chance to make Kiddush Hashem from your own free will at a much higher level. He says, I'm being forced to make this Kiddush Hashem. He says, you survive and go become religious and mitzvot, you'll be able to make Kiddush Hashem out of your own free will at a much higher level. He's, and that little talk that the Rebbe gave me on the way out, that I'm Jewish, because otherwise who knows what I would have become. He says, he told me I'm greater, because, so that's what the Rebbe writes over here from the Shonim, from earlier rabbis, that we say in Mincha of Shabbat, and the Amidah, we say, Ve'al minuhatam yagdishu et shemecha. That the Hiddush is that Kiddush Hashem is not only at the time of persecution. Ve'al minuhatam. That even at the time of minuhatam, when they're resting, when everything's good, yagdishu et shemecha, Kiddush Hashem is done nonetheless. Ve'niktashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. Ve'niktashti betoch b'nei Yisrael means that ve'niktashti, make a Kiddush Hashem, but you're still B'toch B'nai Yisrael, you're still alive. The Benikdashi is B'toch B'nai Yisrael, you're still there. But you're still alive to talk about it. How do you make a living Kiddush Hashem all day long? You know, make do mitzvot. People think Kiddush Hashem means you got to find 10 goyim and you got to do something and return $100. That's a Kiddush Hashem. That's only one Kiddush. You know what Kiddush Hashem is? Kiddush Hashem is when you're sitting in your house alone and nobody's watching you, and you're having lunch and you have a sefer, and you're, as you're reading a sefer. That's Kiddush Hashem. Of course, we think Kiddush Hashem. That's what I'm saying, it to negate what your thoughts are. You think that Kiddush Hashem is only we have 10 guys, 10 goyim, you put on your yarmulke, and you say, I'm Jewish, here's $100. That's a very low Kiddush Hashem, if you name it. That's a not a high Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem between 10 goyim like that is not the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. That's not the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Dessler talks about it a lot. Of course, because in front of 10 people, everybody's watching, you know, Kiddush Hashem. And then when the guy goes home, the guy's a Behem Agassah. Kiddush Hashem is the recognition of this God. But you only do it in front of 10 people. To give back 100 views on the New York Post writes about it. Look at the Jew guy. Very nice. But I want to know what you're doing in your house when nobody's watching. How do you talk to your wife when nobody's watching? Oh, then, no. The New York Post doesn't come to Masa Torah. The Kiddush Hashem is the main Kiddush Hashem when nobody's watching. That's the biggest Kiddush Hashem. And that's, by the way, and that's much harder. Much harder to make Kiddush Hashem when no one's looking. Kiddush Hashem means you recognize. I had a proof to this once. What was my proof? I had a proof. The whole inyan of Kiddush Hashem is the recognition that Hashem is here. And therefore, I'm moser nefesh, meaning I'm sacrificing my will because I know there's God watching. That's Kiddush Hashem. It's because of God. There's no other motivator but God. I wrote a proof. My proof was like this. And therefore, of course, if you want to start Kiddush Hashem, the exercise starts the easier to the harder. Of course, public Kiddush Hashem is easier because you have motivation. People are watching you and you're motivated by the kavod, whatever it is. That's very good. But the goal is not to keep it in public. The goal is to be Mekadesh and Shamayim. But who's the heart of Kiddush Hashem? The guy who gives $100 away, or Yosef HaTzadik and Eshet Potifar? Nobody's watching. That's the biggest Kiddush Hashem. Because there, Mesirut Nefesh, that's the highest level. I'm just trying to show you, Kiddush Hashem is a mistake that people think it's only in public. That wasn't the proof. The proof I brought was from Shimon ben Shattah. Shimon ben Shattah says he bought a hamor from a goy, and when he got the hamor, there was a diamond around his neck. So the B Shimon ben Shattah told the students, go return it. Hamor kaniti, even tova lo kaniti. Correct? So the students went back to the guy. The students went back to the guy, the Arab, and they told him, and the Rebbe said to give back the diamond. Hamor kaniti, even to my love kaniti. So what does the Arab say? Baruch Hashem Elokei Shimon ben Shattah. What does Hashem have to do with this? What does Hashem have to do with this? All of a sudden he turns into a religious item. Baruch Hashem. What does Hashem have to do with this over here? You should say, Baruch Shimon ben Shattah, the ethical guy, the moral guy, the decent guy, Baruch Shimon ben Shattah. An explanation is the Arab understood that the reason why Shimon ben Shattah returned the diamond was not because it's ethical or more. He understood that it came from his recognition that there's Hashem. It only came because there's a God in the world and God's watching, and the Arab sensed it. So he said, Baruch Hashem, Elokei Shimon ben Shattah. That's Kiddush Hashem. That's a Kiddush Hashem where you caused, somebody was able to see that you behave in a certain way because it's, when a person has money to gain and he runs out to pray mincha and everybody in the office is watching. That's Kiddush Hashem. This guy is unbelievable. He's motivated. His godliness is more important than it. All that type of stuff. But in private it's even higher. By the way, it doesn't say there was 10 people in that kiddush. It was a student and a rabbi. Two people there. Anyway, so the Rebbe holds that, you know, a living kiddush Hashem is a great thing, by the way. Because that's constant. It's every single day. Kiddush Hashem. It's all day long. It's 24 hours a day. Not to minimize the Mishkidut Nefesh Mamash, but don't think that just because we're living in good times that it's not applicable. And he says that's what God really is hafet. The biggest proof they bring is from the Rachel Imenu. He doesn't bring it, but they bring it from the Rachel Imenu. Well, are you outside today? Tomorrow? Okay, so we'll say it's out of the Rachel Imenu. Your side. Yud Aleph is tonight? Today's what? God? Okay. I have nothing to say about God, but I'll say something about Rachel Imenu. So anyway, Rachel... Huh? Okay, but today I don't have anything to say about God. Yeah, high is 11. We know that you're Aleph Hashvan. Today's 10. So tomorrow's 11. So what happens is like this. It says, Rachel levakal banea, the mother Rachel cries, and God's going to tell the mother Rachel, you know, min ikolech mebechi, ve'enai min dema, stop crying. Ki yech hachal ef ulatech, v'shavu banim legbula. Rachel Aminu has a big zechut over here. And they all question what big zechut does she have? More than any of the other tzaddikim. So they come along and say, well, you know, she has a zechut that she gave up her sister, her husband, and she shared her husband with her sister. She gave up the simanim, which is a big thing, because she didn't want her sister to get embarrassed, so she shared her husband. Okay, it's a nice thing. But is that better than, I don't know, all the tzaddikim that gave their lives up for God? And she didn't want to think she didn't marry the sister. So the Mefarshim say, the people that gave up their life for God, it's over in a second. This over here now, this Mishidut Nefesh, she has to live with it for the rest of her life. You know, it's not, I give over the simanim, and then it goes away. No, I give over the simanim, and now it starts. And for the next 80 years, whatever, 50 years, 40, whatever it is, she's not young, but whatever it is, she has to live with this now forever. That the living on this Kiddush Hashem that she made, the Mesirut Nefesh, that's a much higher level. To live, to make Mesirut Nefesh and survive it. Now, much harder. So she got to live with it every day. That's right. But I mean, these people that have Yesudim go up to business. Tremendous Kiddush Hashem they're making every day. How they accept the Yesudim. Guy died, boom, he died, then it's over. But they have somebody have Yesudim. And you see them struggling through the Yisurin, and they don't question God. This Mesirut Nefesh is a constant Kiddush Hashem. It's a much higher level to live through, endure something than just. So he brings an incredible interpretation to a. He says Ubi Yalduti. Shamati mitagonet tzaddik Mori Arab Yosef Moshe Schneerson. Mikrakov. Maybe it's some crack out of your. Huh? I don't know if all the Schneersons are related. I don't know. These are the ones from Krakow. You're talking about the ones from Krakow? So now, what happened is like this. He's an amazing Gemara. It says, Rabbi Akiva is being taken out by the Romans. And the Romans are raking his body. And Rabbi Akiva is saying the Shema. And the students can't believe it. So the students come along and they tell him, Ushayat Kore Shema. Obviously, he was mechaven to fulfill the mitzvah of to die al Kiddush Hashem. So he says, Amru lo tamidav ad kan. The rabbi, even now. Every time I read this pasuk, b'chol nafshecha, even if he takes your soul, v'amati matay yavod yadi v'akeyemenu. And I said, when is it gonna? What am I gonna do? ועכשיו שבא לידי לא אקיימנו? And now that it came to you, I'm not going to do it. She says, well, I'm thinking about this. And now this is the moment. I'm going to squander it. That's a simple shot. But he said, no. He said, who says you have to give your life up to make Kiddush Hashem? He said, Rabbi Akiva, all my life when I read the Kiryat Shema, and I had Uvchon Nafshecha, I was mechaven. What was I mechaven? Like we mechaven in the Ma'an of Behava. That means, if I had to give my life up to God, I would give it up. But not that I'm actually giving it up. Rabbi Akiva, I was mekayem this every single day, this Kiddush Hashem. And how was I mekayem it? He reads the Gemara, Kol yamai hayiti mitzta'er al pasuk zeh. What is he mitzta'er? When I read the Kol Nafshecha, I was mitzta'er in my mind. I felt as if I was בכל נפשך עשינו את נפשך, ואמרתי, when I went every day, מתי יבוא לידי והקיימנו? I had that כוונה. My כוונה was, מתי יבוא לידי והקיימנו? And that's the way I fulfilled it. That's what I did every day. I was making Kiddush Hashem thousands of times already. Just by having this כוונה of, מתי... But the greatness was, I survived it. And I just had the מחשבה of מסילות נפש. And then he said, ועכשיו שבא לידי, but now that it came to my hands to actually die, lo akayemenu, I'm not going to be able to fulfill the other mesilut nefesh anymore.
Wow.
It's not rhetorical, it's with a period.
Wow.
The akshab sheba liyadi, but now that this one came, hava, lo akayemenu, I can't do the other one. Now I got to do the death one, but I'm not going to be able to survive this mesilut. So therefore, you see that, according to that, it's a dirash, of course, but it brings out the point. ועכשיו שבא לי ידי the מעשה לא הקיימנו. I can't do what I was doing my whole life. So anyway, that's the yesod over here. So now we go back. God tells Abraham Avinu, לך לך. What's the pshat לך לך? Go teach monotheism to the whole world. Take all the chokhmah you have and go promote it. Kiddush Hashem. Now that's a great thing. That's Kiddush Hashem of the living. That's Kiddush Hashem of the living. Akedat Yitzhak, that's Kiddush Hashem of death. So therefore the Gemara comes along and the Midrash comes along and says, well, I don't know which one is better. I think maybe the Lech Lecha is better, because at least Avraham Avinu was able to go and once to take the son and slaughter him, it's over. The Kiddush Hashem of Lech Lecha A is better than the Kiddush Hashem of Lech Lecha B. But then the Gemara said, the Midrash says, no. God never had any intention for Yitzhak Avinu to die. It was never the plan. Because God doesn't want people to die. God wants, and that's when God told Avraham initially, Kahnat bin Chad Shahidecha, Lech Lecha, Samurim, Ha'alehu Le'olah. God never said, slaughter him. God said, Ha'alehu. Ya'alehu, now take him down. Put him on his way up. So the Rav says, "Ki emet nachon adavar, the yoter chaviv lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu sheyitkadshu bnei Yisrael shemo b'chayim, v'yikara d'chayi adifa, better to be alive. Ach ma'ani ta'ama gufa ma'aseh akel, and that's why the ma'aseh akel is greater. The melvad ma'aseh nisyon akel gadla, besides the fact that nisyon akel is greater, because it's greater, much greater than to leave your house before your son." On its own it's greater. But it has another ma'ala. אף כם זאת שהייתה גם כן עניין של קידוש השם בחיים. But there was a קידוש השם בחיים. וכמו שדרשו על הפסוק, אשר לא ציוויתי ולא דיברתי. God says, I never commanded you to slaughter your son. It never even entered my mind. כלומר, אף על פי שציוויתי, מעולם לא עלתה על ליבי לשחוט בנו, אלא לנסותו. אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא לאברהם, כשאמרתי לך כחנה את בנך, לא אמרתי שחתהו, אני רוצה לספור להם, אלא והעליהו. הרי מבואר, ומיד בשעת הציווי הייתה כוונתו התברך שיהיה מוכן למסור נפשו, אבל באמת יישאר בחיים. That was the commandment. I want you to make a קידוש השם בחיים. אברהם didn't understand. אברהם thought he wanted to make a קידוש השם במיטה. And therefore, both the first nisayon and the second are having something equal in them. They're both Kiddush Hashem where you survive it. The Akedah is greater because the Akedah is greater on its own because it's a greater Nisayon. And it has the Hiddush of Kiddush Hashem Mechayim. And that's what the Midrash says. How do I know it's greater? Shene'emar, Lech Lecha, El Eretz HaMoriah, V'ha'alehu Le'olah. The fact that he said V'ha'alehu, and he didn't say V'shachatehu, that's the biggest proof that Kiddush Hashem Mechayim is so Adraba. From the Akedah itself, you learn this concept. Everybody learns from the Akedah, Mesirut Nefesh Mamash. No, the Akedah is the proof of the opposite. Because if God held that Mesirut Nefesh Mamash is greater, he would have told four of them. And like God said, no, I want you to go through this, and I want you to survive it, and then go to the next Kiddush Hashem, and make the next mitzvah, and keep on going. This is a starting point. Right. From Yitzhak's standpoint, that's the biggest question amongst the Rishonim. That the jury is out on that. If the Rishonim say the test is on Abraham, and if the test say, they say it's called Akedah Yitzhak. Some say it's called Akedah Yitzhak, not Akedah Abraham. Akedah Yitzhak. If you're learning it that the test is on Yitzhak, then how is he going to do it? How is he going to do it? Now, of course, it's a Nisayon to Avraham, but it could be a Nisayon to Yitzhak also. It's Avraham's 10th test and Yitzhak's first. I mean, you know, you keep him 10. Who's, well, like you said, it could be both. But from Yitzhak's aspect of it, look, it's a you'd walk right back and say, okay, it's a failed attempt. You know, it was a close Kiddush Hashem. No, that's Kiddush Hashem. That you served the Kaddish Baruch Hu and you're still alive to tell the story. Okay, we'll stop here. Baruch Amar Adam. Amen, amen. The Bi'ah, 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 the Bi'ah,